You have to lead us off, Mike. It's tradition.
Okay, remind me, what is it that I do?
It sounds so traditional if you don't remember.
It is collective bargaining at the University of Central Florida with the United Faculty of Florida, University of Central Florida chapter, and the representatives of the University of Central Florida Board of Trustees. It's November 2nd at 1:30 p.m. Welcome, everyone. Now you know why I'm not in radio.
That was good.
I was thinking Paul Harvey.
Was it really?
Yeah. No, that's good.
You did really think that? All right. And here's the rest of the story. People, you don't understand that, do you, Baron?
Other places don't have traditions like this?
No. You know, some places, here's a bunch for your side of the name, John. Okay. Some people do not record.
Oh, right.
And then, so it would be foolish for me to say that out loud. It would just be declaring myself in the middle of the afternoon. But some make everyone in the room introduce themselves and say who they are.
So we just use a sign-up sheet.
We just use a sign-up sheet because we don't want. We want plausible denial that we weren't here sometime in the future. I was out of the room for that. I don't remember that day.
When we get into full book bargaining, we're going to see a lot of things where we wonder, does anybody know anybody who's in the room that day? What the heck did they mean?
Yeah.
We go through that every year.
Well, that's true. I'm on tape, but I know the person who negotiated that blue book back in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
He currently is the in-house labor relations guy for the state of Florida. He left the regents and went over to the state. And sometimes I call him up and I say, "What did you mean?" And he always says, "I have no idea." He always says that. Let's read this sentence. Any clue as to what this means? Nope. Okay, then.
Well, that makes our side feel better.
So this is the minutes of the meeting from October 5th, 2017. And it looks okay to me.
Looks okay to our side.
Well, we have. The last time we met, and it's been a while, so I think one of the things that I and the team walked away with, John, was that you had a level of discomfort with the fact that there's language in the salaries article, particularly in the area of the awards, that has some... it sort of just references a website. And your thoughts, as I heard them, was that you wanted to have language having to do with criterion process in the contract as opposed to residing somewhere else in the world. And, you know, we like it residing somewhere else in the world, to be honest with you, and we think we've expressed that to you. But what we've attempted to do today is address some of those areas that where there's awards. And thank No, I don't. You know, I don't know. Let me first, and I think we talked about this last time. I don't know when we're going to get a resolution to Article 23. You know, it may not be today, which I guess our next session is December 7th. And we don't know how long the ratification process is going to be, but in anticipation of that, we kind of push the dates out for implementation to give us time to address some of the issues that are still on the table. So I guess I would like to take your attention to, first off, I'd like to take your attention to 23.6 on page 4 of 6.
Actually, can I ask you about 23.4B?
Yeah.
So what, the 610 is substituting for 970? Shouldn't that be going in the opposite direction if it's a lengthier time?
Well, I think 610 is what we had last time, right?
Hasn't changed since.
The 970 is like old.
Yeah, that was the last
year.
Oh, okay. But that 610 should go up, right, if we push the date out another, it looks like, two pay periods?
Yeah, well, if you, you know, whatever you want to come back and propose, but that's where we're at right now.
Okay, so it's not a typo.
It's not a typo, yeah. So, page 4 of 6. On the Excellence Awards, on the Trustee Chair Award. It used to say just, these awards shall be made according to existing criteria and procedures, which I understood was not substantive in its descriptive for your acceptance. So what we actually did was put in language on eligibility and process. So, and I think we're attempting, tell me, Charlie and Chuck, if I'm incorrect, but I think we're attempting to capture with this pretty much the status quo.
Correct.
The one change would be that, no, I think that's kind of the status quo. So we're giving more, I guess, we're going into detail on eligibility and process for the trustee chair. Now, if I take you to the next page, under 23.6B, Pegasus Professor, we're attempting to do the same thing. Instead of just saying awards shall be made according to existing criteria and procedure, we're actually putting in the eligibility criteria, and we're describing the process. And again, we're trying to capture the status quo. Now, we looked and tried to do the same thing in C, but quite frankly, that was a little daunting because of the number of awards, different types of awards, and the different types of eligibilities and various criteria, so we just sort of recognized some process language instead of existing criteria and procedures published by the Office of Faculty Excellence. We again attempted to capture the status quo as to who makes the final determination on an excellence award, and that we recognize, I guess, there's a committee for each award, right, John?
That's right.
In all three of these areas, what we're trying to do is open them up and seek to address the concern that instead of just referencing a third location, we would put in language on criteria and process. On page 6 of 6, I think there was a request to reduce, I mean not to reduce, to remove language that kind of qualified the contractual obligation. So we, on provided an online calculator, we're taking that language out.
I believe we agreed to that last time.
Yeah, I think so. But
you suggested it, I think.
You suggested it, and we are actually, it's now appearing on our proposal struct. I guess we can certainly talk about the salaries article. And answer any questions you might have or entertain any observations you might have. We also would like to, I guess there's another order of business that we need to recognize, and that is in our current collective bargaining agreement, which...
23 is in the
scheme,
if you're looking for that.
Oh, okay. It says that...
Duration? Are
page 30 of 32 of the 2016-2017 supplement. On page 30 of 32, 30.1D requires that negotiations for a successor agreement, which is the full book to this, shall begin no later than November 10th, 2017. And since this is the only time we're meeting before November 10th, 2017, mm-hmm. Somebody ring the bell, right?
Well, we
it
actually,
has begun.
As we indicated last time, we've brought proposals for you to consider for the full book. So
good, good.
So we can do that.
And we have one. We have the preamble. The yeah. Dueling preambles.
I bet ours is simpler than yours.
Oh, it might be. You asked last time, John, and your team asked if we could approach the negotiations on the full book in seriatim of the articles. And, you know, I we're good with that, except that we will... have to skip some, you know, there might be, because we can't get to, you know, I think I told the story last time, but I once had a university that was doing their own negotiations, which, okay, by the way, is a very dangerous thing. I just want to say that they were doing their own negotiations, and months had gone by, and they called me up, and they said, okay, we were just in a jam, and I said, what's the problem? They said, well, it's Article 3. And I said, what's the problem? They told me, well, we're apart on this. This is back in a different age when same-sex relationships were in debate as to whether to be protected or not in the non-discrimination. They said, well, we're having a problem with this. And how would it be applied? I said, well, what else are you having a problem with? The rest of the contract that she said. You mean we can move on? We can go to 4?
Oh, they got stuck on 3.
Three for like months. They kept saying, we can't go to 4. Then she said, well, you mean we can actually go to 4? Like, yeah.
You can go to 4. The outside council paid for itself.
Yeah. Yeah. You can even go to 20 if you want. Knock yourself out. Anyway, that was... I didn't need that remark about outside counsel.
okay,
but that's good, whatever you want to do, John, but if you want to first have a talk about 23?
Yeah, just a couple of questions. So we'd indicated last time that there are some waivers that are contained in those criteria and procedures that UFF is no longer willing to waive. as well as the waiver about administrative salary stipends being permitted as opposed to being specified in the contract in 23.12. So we were expecting to see some proposed language for that.
Yeah, 23.12. We're really having a hard struggle with 23.12 because we do have people who have, well, you know, I'll tell you, we're having a problem on two aspects of this issue. And one is that we're concerned about capturing what is an administrative salary? When does a person qualify for it by having a title administrative function? And the concern that somebody might say they're doing something as an assignment that should be a title administrative function, and since they're not given the title, that they're being denied arbitrarily the increase. So one problem we have is how do we even define the universe of people who would be qualified for a stipend? The other thing is we have in practice people who are doing some administrative tasks and they're not receiving compensation for it, but they're receiving other consideration for it, whether it's a release or something of that nature. And we want to continue that practice because in those circumstances, we think that's the fair compensation for the work that's being assigned. So we're really struggling with 23.12. We've gone back and talked about it a couple of times, and we keep hitting those two challenges. Mm-hmm. And does anybody have anything else to say?
No, I think you did a great job summarizing.
Commitment issue too. If you do something for 15 hours and you're done, that's not really a stipend that would be $5,000, for instance.
Yeah. So anyway, we're having a problem with that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the second problem is not insurmountable. Okay. So there are other, you know, we made really clear that what our proposal advocated was the minimum of $5,000 compensation, but then not touching anything else that's being done already. If you'd like to propose alternatives to that, we're receptive to hearing what they are.
Well, let me ask you this. I have not talked with anybody at the administration about this. But just to bring this issue back to them, I do have a question. I hear that there are people who get a course release in as compensation for an administrative assignment. Now, guys, I guess a course release for a faculty member would have a value, right?
Mm-hmm. You could put a value on it.
Right, and it probably would be more than the amounts of money that we're talking about for compensation.
Well, it depends on the elements of that equation. So, you know, FT would be mostly 1.0, but the percent assignment, how many courses they teach.
I'm just saying for the purposes of my being able to go back and talk,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's going to depend.
Well, what do you think about the concept of compensation at a value, whether it's actually money in a check or it's being released from an assignment that has compensation value?
Well, our main concern is that there are huge disparities across the university and even within departments. So mm-hmm. even within departments at the same time, but also over time,
mm-hmm.
in how folks are compensated or whether even they're compensated at all. So our main concern is to make sure that folks are compensated fairly and equitably. That's the primary concern. How that's done, we're willing to discuss.
All right. So it could be, this is just my asking the question. It's not beyond your consideration that it would be a defined value, whether it's money in a check or the equivalent.
We'd certainly be willing to explore that.
Okay. Because I think, you know, there's a lot of ways people receive something of value besides compensation of check, right? Am I off or am
no,
I?
No,
that's
right.
I still don't know if it addresses the other question, but we can still talk about it.
Yeah.
The other part of the question is could be done by just asking, okay, what job titles are there that necessarily involve this sort of administrative function? So associate chair would be one that comes, you know, right off the top of your head. And then there are, so we could define what those are. So if you're worried about the specificity, we could do that. And
okay.
As long as we have some other, mm-hmm. you know, category that'll capture, there's going to be a few oddball cases here and there. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that we want to make sure that we've got, that we're not, we don't want to upset the status quo. Our main thing is that we've got two groups now. We have groups that have been compensated, and then other groups who, for different reasons, have not been. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, the cases who have not been are folks who are junior, they're from a foreign country, they're women, they're...
lecturers.
Lecturers, instructors. So they're just being told, well, you just have to do this. There's no compensation available.
Okay.
When someone previously to them or subsequently to them is given a totally different story.
Right. I haven't gotten a single grievance on that.
How would it be grieved?
It's an arbitrary and...
unreasonable assignment.
That's the problem with this clause, is that it allows for that waiver.
I don't understand what you're saying.
The problem with the clause that it allows for that kind of arbitrariness.
Is permitted to, doesn't have to, doesn't require to.
I'm not following that.
It's because it says it shall be permitted as opposed to shall be provided.
Well, let's...
Or something along those lines.
Well, let's go back to the discussion on the first part of our concerns. Have you thought about the range of titles that you think would mandate compensation? I mean, if we asked you to submit for our consideration a list, so that, because I think it's sort of odd because
you guys are representing the administration, so you mm-hmm. think you would know what that list would be.
Well, we could probably generate, and I think we probably would look at that ourselves for sure. I'm just curious your expectation of what that list is may have a different scope than our expectation of the list.
Well, how about this? Next time we each come with our lists in alphabetical order, and then we can compare. So we'll see a bunch of, okay, we agree right away, and then some that we might need to talk about.
Well, right. we have to think about that.
I don't know that they can capture it for various reasons. We can talk about it in caucus if you want.
Yeah, okay. Because performing a specific title administrative function is, well, as we both agree, not definitive. I mean, it leaves room for some.
It could be improved.
Right.
It could be improved, yeah.
And like I said, I'm concerned that somebody would say, I'm doing a task mm-hmm. that should be. And we have to address that, too. I mean, we can't, there's a lot of people doing a lot of things.
It would really help me if you had names of people that are doing work that they're not allegedly being compensated for. That's what I need. I need to see people and instances so that I can see what the explanation is.
Yeah, I know.
We gave an example last time just from our own bargaining committee.
No, yeah, I got three people out of a department. I didn't get names. You know, I mean, that's...
We have someone on our department who's doing QEP metrics for university.
Okay.
So
I will find out who that is.
I can tell you who it is if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Mike, a question for you. Other
sure.
than let's say in a case where you cannot give a course release to some other person, what other way would you compensate them to make it commensurate?
Chuck, maybe you can have insight on this.
There's some examples that I can share. I know have gotten travel budgets. Sometimes there's an extra teaching assistant that may be mm-hmm. assigned. Mm-hmm. There's a variety of things. I think in some cases, the faculty involved or negotiating with the chair, talking about what's going to make this good for me. And, you know, there are different ways that, that's happening.
And that's problematic as well,
right,
from
that's
the
very
contract standpoint.
Yeah.
Because now you've got direct dealing going on.
Yep. We had a faculty member who asked who taught a course for our chair because he was being nice in his first year here without compensation.
Can you give me that name?
I can give you that name, yes. Yes, I can.
Who is that?
I won't say it on the record.
We don't need to. Well, let's not say it on the record.
Okay, so would you like to proceed to the full book stuff?
Sure.
Because then we can consider what you've
given
us with the other language.
Yeah. And I think that was an interesting discussion on that section.
Okay. So let me grab.
I have more. Oh, yeah. I think that projects on the wall.
Yeah, John, we have projection.
I didn't transfer stuff to my flash drive anyway. We might have enough.
I have
guns.
It here.
That was exactly what you sent around to us. So I could probably.
Yeah, we have
okay,
yeah,
if you don't mind,
yep.
At least trying to get it up.
Yep.
I keep forgetting I'll give it to you guys. Make sure I give out the right ones.
Oh. Could you pass them on to me?
Okay. So, okay, you guys have them. Do you want a copy?
No, I'm good. I've held up.
Okay.
So,
maybe I'll keep one. I have one somewhere. Mm. We'll just pass them across. I'll let you know.
Yes, I have one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it.
So we proposed the shortest possible preamble, which was just to delete it and eliminate it and get directly into the contract.
And we have
yours is pretty short, but I think we got your feet, Mike.
This one time.
Yeah, this is off that one.
I'll give you our preamble.
Replacing the preamble with titles and headings, is that?
No, not quite.
Maybe I'm not thinking about what the article looks like. I'm sorry.
Let me know when you're ready.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Article 1.
Oh, right.
Because it's on that same page.
Yeah, it was
so
on that
I thought
page.
It was replacing it. I
no,
apologize.
No, it's. And Article 1 is
it's
actually
from a.
Can I borrow a copy back?
Mm-hmm.
Like I just gave away my copy.
We're right here for the
yeah,
yeah
they, I think everyone. They passed. I passed
print.
Seven
yeah,
out there.
Okay, sure.
There's extra copies of ours.
So what we're suggesting is to make Article 1 point out to people what the titles of the articles and the headings actually mean, because otherwise, it's buried way in the back of the document. So move that forward as Article 1. And I just put the preamble and Article 1 together to save space, save some paper. But the text is exactly the same and the revisions are from that status quo language.
As which one? What are we moving? I'm sorry, I missed
that. Where
do
the titles and headings come from?
It's from Article 28.3 currently. It's under miscellaneous provisions. It's way in the back of that.
Yeah, I see it.
It's on page, I think, 113.
Yes, it is.
So this would shift the rest of the articles forward, is that?
Yeah, we're going to propose reorganizing especially the beginning of the contract a little bit.
I'll have to memorize a whole new set, John.
I know, Charlie. Believe me, I was reluctant to do this because I'm not good with memorizing stuff. I was like, oh no, now I got two sets of numbers that are going to be lodged in my brain.
Okay,
so that's the first one. And so then what we proposed doing was putting articles that deal primarily with UFF next, and then articles that deal with management rights next, and then articles that deal with things that we're both bound by, like non-discrimination and things like that, next, and then we get into the rest of the meat of the contract. And so the payroll deduction used to be
in 23
in 26 and now we're
26 oh.
And
you mean the UFF payroll deduction?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And now we're proposing moving that forward
to
Article 3.
Oh, I don't have that one yet. Okay.
That's the one we already got.
These are extra copies, Charlie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Those are extra copies of 2.
Okay. Oh, did I not give
3.
That to you? Okay.
So it's interesting. We're going in order, but the order's different.
The order's different. Yeah. Well, but we're about to skip one.
Oh, good. That's good.
Boy, it's going to be quite ambitious to track all that.
We're going to have to add a mathematician to our team.
So are you going to... I'm looking at 3.4B, and it says consistent with provisions of Article 11, so you've had to shift everything in there, too, so it's going to be referring to things in... Are you going to give us the whole full book today?
No.
Okay, so we don't have that yet. Okay.
Yeah, you don't have that yet.
It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, no, it is. We're going to have to make... We'll do our best to make your life easy, Charlie, and catch those alignment changes.
I wonder how we're going to put that on the website.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can do it by the titles haven't changed, so if we just reverse it and put the title
in
there.
The first thing you gave me was a new title that we don't have in our... It's okay. I will figure it out.
It's an elevation of a subtitle.
Don't worry about it. We will figure it out. We want to make sure that people are able to get to the information.
Right.
And so one of the things that we noticed...
On 3.
On payroll deduction was that our reference to Florida statutes was about a decade out of date.
Okay.
And then...
Oh, yeah, 2006. Yeah. It was a good year, 2006.
It was. There were raises that year. No raises.
And then in on line 60 there, we had something that was effective in 2005, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can agree that that's been in place, or, I don't know, maybe we don't need it anymore. Advances in computer technology no longer limit the number of fields.
I don't know where you're...
On Article 6, Article line 60.
Payroll deductions.
And payroll deductions.
Okay.
And then on page 1, most of the changes that are in there are directly related to bringing this in line with the language of Florida statutes.
Formerly from 26.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
So your jihad on the written numbers and the number following continues.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So then what we're proposing is to put right behind it the language about UFF insurance deduction. Mm-hmm. And again, it's status quo language with just the change to remove unnecessary words. And that would be Article 4.
Okay.
Okay. And then we propose Article 5 would be UFF privileges, but we're going to skip that one.
Okay.
So we're skipping one. Because we're
currently
negotiating it, it seemed odd to be negotiating it two times.
Right, right.
Right? Makes sense?
Okay. Yeah.
And then this would be Article 6 now, which is management rights.
So to the good stuff.
Right. So now to the flip side.
Right, because I'm just going to share mine. If you guys are okay, as long as you've got the record, I'm good.
Are you ready? I can get some contract. It's fine.
Oh.
Yes, it's being wrong.
Hmm. To guess which one it's from?
Yeah.
I would probably say Florida.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions?
Questions?
Shall we take a caucus?
Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
Okay, which side has more people?
Oh,
the ones that stay.
We'll go.
We'll go? Yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
Okay. Well, we had a conversation about. We appreciate the time because we had a conversation about 23.12 in our caucus, but I don't have anything to add to it at this time, but we'll continue to discuss that.
Okie doke.
And I guess with regard to the articles that you provided to us today, John, for full book, we had an opportunity to go through those. We don't, I guess we are going to take those back and just let everybody we know about the proposed change in formatting and kind of let everybody know where we're at with all that. But we don't have any questions about the actual language changes. We might ask you at some point about the significance of the loss of the language, unless it appears someplace else. That's, I realize, legacy, having to do with the Faculty Senate that was in the preamble. And, you know, whether that was deliberate and why we think that's something that should happen to the contract. But we're not even asking you that now, unless you want to say something about it, but we may ask you that in the future.
Okay.
Because we don't even know if that shows up someplace else.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
So, that may be a topic we
address down the road, but...
Okay. Good.
Well, shucks, I brought TA versions. I thought there were a couple that were pretty non-controversial well, that you guys would sign off on along with us.
Well...
I like your spirit.
Last time we started Full Book, we must have TA'd 5 or 6 on the first day.
Yeah, they were the same, though, right?
Well, these are all the same, except for the... cleaning up the well, cleaning up some of the awful grammar.
I think once we start signing, we'll get a lot knocked out.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tuck these away so I'm not distracted. So there weren't any particular questions about anything that we could answer now before you go back and deliberate?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Okie doke. So, yeah, we had a chance to look over the changes that you've made. And I guess one question that we had is on line 14. If you remember, last time there was a said 10%, then you indicated that was a typo. That you'd meant to have 11% in your proposal. So we were checking out, is this a recurrence of
the... now because of the article. Remember we had to move the money we had to have. Chuck, can you explain that better? It was at 11 last time. It's been moved to 10, if that makes sense.
Okay, so it's not a typo.
It's not a typo. That's correct.
Because of the awards.
Correct. Mm-hmm. We had to roll out the reissue started.
Right, okay. But I think we also... articulated an option last time?
I think the option was right now at 115 on awards, that 1% could be restored, I believe, if we went to 110 on the awards.
So I think actually we're in the same place we were last time, John. We went to 10 last time, but we offered the option of going to 11. With the tweak of the awards. Right?
Mm-hmm. I'm just checking the numbers. While we're talking about the incentive awards,
mm-hmm.
So just to illustrate again why we're going to insist, and I do mean insist, that these procedures and eligibility criteria go into the contract. Is if we could call up the RIA language, is because what's up on the website isn't keeping pace with changes in the contract. Okay, so the RIA awards have been announced, right? And right on general eligibility, line 1 is wrong. It's not full-time tenured or tenure-earning faculty. It's all faculty. Okay, we made that change. It's at least in the... Well, we made the change in Full Book, but then because it got ratified so close to the deadline, we agreed for that 1 year to just maintain the current language. But this has been out of date now for almost a full year. So this is the issue we're having over and over and over again, is that the language isn't... And all these things aren't keeping up.
Okay. We can talk outside. I'm in the caucus.
And the last time I checked the... committee composition that still hadn't been updated, so I haven't looked. Okay, this is an experiment. Can you find that for me, John? Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. We're just trying to point out here's the problem, or here's part of the problem. It's on. If you go back to the main page, that's where you've got the committees. Yeah, awards committee composition.
The other one mentions tenure. Is that the one that has changed?
Well, I need to pull up.
Not necessarily tenure.
Because the last time I looked, this one still was wrong. Maybe they fixed it. Nope, still wrong. Multiple components of that rightmost column. And we pointed this out the last time in bargaining. So even when we point it out and everybody in the room knows about it, it still doesn't get fixed. So that's why we need to put it in the contract, where everybody knows where it is and it's stable. Things should be going from the contract to the website, copy and paste, and not vice versa, or not just, oh, it's over here somewhere.
Well, I think that's why we proposed the language for Trustee and Pegasus.
Well, if we can go to what we found for that as well. Okay.
This is current.
Okay, so this is the current language for the trustee chairs. That's different from the language that was there when we proposed, put our proposal on the table. So that language has been changed while we're in the middle of bargaining this particular item.
Well, I'd have to look into that.
This is the
PDF
we made of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's from August 17th, I believe, is the date on my computer.
Last year as well, for the internet way back machine.
Yeah.
And where is it now? I mean, what's the difference now? Just so I see.
That second paragraph has been created.
But it's not the same document that you're pointing at. That other document is still on the website. It's on the provost website. The one on the left is on the provost website.
Okay, it's on the provost. So it's on, held on a different website?
That U.S. trustee chair, it's holding place. I think that's where it is.
Well, at any rate, the language is being changed while we're bargaining it. That's a problem, because these are unilateral changes that are being made in the contract, elements of the contract, outside the scope of bargaining.
I'm just saying that the document on the left is still on the provost website.
It's still what, Joe? Still what?
But does
the PDF is still up?
The PDF, I believe, is still there.
Yeah. Okay, we just couldn't locate it.
Yeah,
and I had a copy on my computer, so I just looked at the date.
Yeah, this is a summary, I believe.
So this is last year in June of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the current language.
Okay.
So that's why we're insisting on that language needs to be in the contract.
Well, that's why we put language in the contract for the trustee chairs.
But that's going from the website to the contract. From the newly changed website to the contract.
Well, or this is still our proposal.
Or it's going from your proposal to the website.
Right.
What's going on?
Well, that's what we proposed to do, and the website seems to be in agreement.
It came
from
the website.
We got the information.
Yeah.
The website's supposed to be status quo until we agree to that, isn't it?
I think.
We're proposing, so.
Yes.
There's just an... I don't want to have to make the same point over and over again. I mean, we've shown multiple examples. Even the one we showed last time, where there were issues, and it now went out to, at least it went out to COS, because I got the email through COS, where there's a mistake in the RIA language. And so put it in the contract, refer folks to the contract, and we don't need to construct all this other stuff. Or if we do, we just copy and paste it. It goes straight in, there's no confusion. This is a whole extraneous layer that serves no purpose.
Except misinformation.
Yeah.
Except, fine. But what we did today is we put in language on eligibility and process for two of those awards. And
but not for 11 others. And
I know,
so,
but I know that's, and we explained why.
You know, and the language from 214 and 215 is even more vague than the prior language. So it's not addressing the issue at all.
All right, well, you know, feel free to counter, John.
Bless you.
That's all we've got.
Okay, good. Well, we'll go to work and see you at our next session.
Okay, so.
Do we want to try to schedule or start the process of scheduling for the spring?
Stuff. You can send me stuff for spring. Okay, Ashley.
Well, You're probably the rate limiting stuff, right?
Yep.
You want to check Mike's schedule?